And welcome to the Issue Is podcast. This is a big week for us. It's the first week where our show begins airing in San Francisco, the Bay Area, up in Northern California, in addition to airing in Southern California. So if you're just finding out about our show on KTVU, welcome to the Issue Is family. Great to have you be a part of it. The podcast, we got two different kinds of podcasts. We got a podcast extra where we interview some of our favorite panelists and learn more about them. And there's one this week about Ann Coulter, which I encourage you to check in on. And this is more from our show, including some of the material that we had to cut out of our show for time. But here in the digital space, we don't have to. So this week, we've got a newsmaking interview with Adam Schiff. We've also got a great debate between Ann Coulter and Stephanie Miller, which we're really excited to bring you. But let's begin with Congressman Schiff, who really comes to the beginning of this week in the crosshairs of the national conversation. Here's what he had to say. Congressman, thank you so much for your support of The Issue Is.
My pleasure. Great to be on your show.
All right. What a week for you in terms of the news. We have this. The big news coming out of the House Intelligence Committee is your colleagues, your Republican colleagues, calling for you to resign at a hearing, and several of them signing a letter asking for you to resign after we got a portion of the Mueller report from Attorney General Bill Barr. The president talking about you on Sean Hannity. Take a listen.
Because he was giving, making horrible statements that he knew were false. And frankly, you know, I heard they should force him off the committee or off the committee chair. He should be forced out of office.
So what's your response to the president? Any plans to resign?
Well, this is a tactic the president has used some time, attacking me on Hannity, attacking me on Twitter. And sadly, all too often, when the president says jump and his friends in Congress say how high. I think when this chapter of history is written, it will reserve some of the most damning words for the GOP leadership, that when the president of the United States attacked the justice system, denigrated judges based on their ethnic origin, attacked the independence of our justice system itself, designated the press as the enemy of the people, that GOP leadership was either silent or, worse, was complicit. So these attacks are nothing new, but they're not going to deter me from doing my job and holding this administration accountable.
Of course, the president isn't the only critic out there. His son also has been very critical of you on Twitter, putting out a tweet referencing the Loch Ness Monster and saying that you have leading a tinfoil hat brigade. The president's counselor, Kellyanne Conway, accusing you of being a liar. Here's what she had to say.
Adam Schiff should resign. He has no right as somebody who has been peddling a lie day after day after day, unchallenged and not under oath.
So when you hear that, when you first heard the summary of the Mueller report in the Barr letter, was there any part of you that thought, maybe I've gone too far, maybe I owe the president an apology?
Well, first of all, in terms of Don Jr., Kellyanne Conway, any day that I'm attacked by the likes of them is probably a very good day for me. After all, this is the inventor of alternate facts, and she's producing some new alternate facts this week. Look, what I have said all along, and Alex, I've said this probably dozens of times publicly on television, perhaps even on your show as well, that the evidence of collusion is in plain sight. But whether that evidence rises to the level of proof beyond a reasonable doubt of criminal conspiracy would be something that Bob Mueller would have to decide. And I would respect, and I do respect, his judgment. But let me just tell you what some of that evidence is. And this pertains to one of the people you brought up, Don Jr. The Russians, through an intermediary, offered dirt on Hillary Clinton to the Trump campaign, something it said was part of the Russian government's effort to help the Trump campaign. And what did Don Jr. do when he received this overture? Did he call the FBI? No. Did he rebuff them and say, under no circumstances? No. His response was, I would love it. If it's what you say it is, that is of a highly sensitive and secret nature, dirt on Hillary by the Russian government, if it's what you say it is, I would love it. And then he went and set up a meeting in Trump Tower. The campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, thought it was worth his attending that meeting to get that dirt, as did Jared Kushner. And then they lied about it. They concealed the meeting. When it was discovered, Don Jr. and reportedly his father produced this false statement to try to cover up that meeting, that evidence of collusion. But I'll also point out that Paul Manafort, we know, and again, this is part of the public record, Paul Manafort provided information or offered to provide information to a Russian oligarch, Oleg Deripaska, in exchange for money or the forgiveness of debt. He offered polling data to someone linked to Russian intelligence. The National Security Advisor, Mike Flynn, secretly had conversations with the Russian ambassador to undermine bipartisan sanctions and lied about it. The president himself called on the Russians to hack his opponent's emails, and later that day, the Russians, the GRU, the same people responsible for that social media campaign, hearing him, did try to hack some of those servers. This is just a partial list. Your show would need to be longer for me to go through all of it. But again, what I have said all along is that this is evidence of corrupt behavior. Yes, it is evidence of collusion, but whether it rises to a prosecutable offense, proof beyond a reasonable doubt of the elements of criminal conspiracy is for Bob Mueller to decide. And I welcome the report. I'm urging that that report be made public in its entirety. It is the president and his attorney general who appear not to want that to happen and who are delaying the release of that. And if they have such confidence that this exonerates them, even though Mr. Mueller said it does not, then let them support the effort to make every word of it public.
And what we know so far is that Mueller said that that did not establish the conspiracy, which does not mean that there was no evidence of a conspiracy. It just means that he did not believe that there was enough evidence for a criminal prosecution. Why do you think that is? Why do you think, given all of what you just said, that they aren't going forward with some sort of prosecution?
Well, Alex, you're exactly right, and herein lies the difference between corrupt behavior and something that you can prove beyond a reasonable doubt is a violation of the law. It's a pretty high burden of proof to show each of the elements of a criminal conspiracy. Not even Don Jr. is likely to sign his name to a written contract saying, I hereby accept the help of the Russian government, and here's how I'm going to coordinate. You generally need, frankly, recordings of participants in a conspiracy or some other very demonstrable proof of that nature. Now, those communications, those written emails, are direct evidence, but nonetheless, it is a high bar. And so Mr. Mueller, who I respect a great deal, and I think the country owes him a great debt of gratitude, decided that he could not persuade a jury of this beyond a reasonable doubt. But let's see that evidence, because each of the things I mentioned, Alex, I would assume will be discussed in the report. And all they're relying on right now is Mr. Barr's summary.
So you mentioned what your past statements, including some of your past statements on this show. We want to go back to May 4th, which was our first show when we talked to you and asked you what you would do as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Here's what you said.
Well, the first thing that we would do is we would release all the transcripts of the interviews that we've done so far. The Republicans committed to doing this, but I knew that they wouldn't fall through because those transcripts both reveal evidence of collusion and obstruction of justice, but they also reveal the degree to which Republican colleagues on the Intelligence Committee were never serious about the investigation, ignored plain evidence of collusion, wouldn't allow us to bring in key witnesses.
So what's next for this investigation? Are you going to release transcripts that show direct evidence of collusion, and when is that going to happen?
We are, Alex, and we have continually pressed the intelligence community, which is in the process of reviewing those transcripts for any classified information, to give us the green light to redact anything that's classified, to allow us to make the public release. And they have continued to push back and say they're not done, they need more time. We're going to continue to ride them until we get that done. We have sought to have them prioritize and accelerate certain transcripts so we don't have to wait for all of them to be done. They have resisted that effort, but we will be releasing all the transcripts. All of those are going to come out in time when they're finished. And I think you will see when you read those transcripts just how fundamentally unserious my GOP colleagues were about the investigation.
Is impeachment now off the table?
Look, I've always said, and I wrote an op-ed on the subject, I think, a year ago in the New York Times, that Democrats should not take the bait on impeachment. We should wait until the investigation is concluded. We should wait till we see and read the Mueller report. That is still my view. I think that the bar for impeachment is very high. It would have to be a bipartisan process, and the likelihood of the Republican members of the Senate deeming this president's conduct, almost no matter how egregious it is, as declaring him unfit for office or constituting high crimes and misdemeanors, that is obviously a very high bar. So again, I think we wait to see the evidence, but I think that unless it is so graphic and compelling that it would earn bipartisan support, there's no point in putting the country through a failed impeachment.
Have you gotten any sense from the Attorney General, and I know your colleague, Congressman Nadler, who runs the Judiciary Committee, is working on this as well, when you might actually see the Mueller report?
Well, apparently the Attorney General has said that it will be weeks, but not months. But here's the thing. This Attorney General, who applied for the job by writing a 19-page legal diatribe against the Mueller investigation, in particular the obstruction of justice case, this Attorney General promised that he would be as transparent as possible, that he would release as much of that report as he could consistent with law and policy. Well, Alex, that means all of it. It means every word of it. The Attorney General is apparently taking the position that he can't release grand jury material. That's a dodge. After the Watergate investigation, that grand jury material with court permission was provided to the Congress. That needs to happen here. And instead of fighting that or redacting that, the Attorney General should seek court permission to do that. That was consistent with what he pledged when he was confirmed, that he would be as transparent as possible. But that does not appear to be where he is headed. So we're going to have a fight, it looks like. But that's a fight we're going to win. They're not going to be able to bury this report. And again, if they're so confident in what it says, if they're so confident he's been exonerated, notwithstanding Mueller's explicit statement, apparently, that he has not been exonerated, then that evidence needs to come out and the public should see it.
This week, the White House put out a memo to news organizations, including ours, urging us not to book people like you on our show, saying that essentially you're not worth talking to. What do you make of that?
Well, look, it's part of a consistent pattern of excluding reporters from the White House press pool, of really effectively doing away with White House press briefings, except under extraordinary circumstances, of labeling the press as the enemy of the people. And I will add to that the reports of a week or two ago that the president was urging members of his staff to tell the Justice Department to hold up the merger of the parent of CNN because he didn't like CNN's coverage, or other allegations that the president was secretly meeting with the Postmaster General to browbeat the Postmaster into raising postal rates on Amazon as a way of punishing Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post. This is a president trying to silence his critic, silence media organizations, silence members of Congress, silence any opposition. It is what you see autocrats around the world doing, and indeed, autocrats are following his example. You have dictators like Bashar al-Assad, you have others like Turkey's Erdogan or Duterte in the Philippines making the claim that you can't watch CNN because it's fake news, or making the argument that their press is the enemy of the people. Instead of our president being held up as a champion of press freedom, he is being held up by autocrats around the world. And obviously, we're going to fight back. Good luck to you, Mr. President, in trying to silence the media or members of Congress. We are going to hold you accountable. That is our constitutional obligation in Congress, and that is the fundamental responsibility of the press.
Well, and all sides are welcome on our show. We appreciate you coming on our show in the past. And for people that are just getting to watch our show for the first time in Northern California, we like to have a little bit of fun and get to know people as well. So, Congressman, I know it's been a crazy week for you, but we're going to hopefully smile for a moment. We have a new game called Either Or. This is where you get an opportunity to pick either this or that. So we're and this has a Northern California theme this week. So here we go. You ready?
First
question is, Golden Gate Bridge or 405 freeway in rush hour?
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. I think I'd rather walk, but I guess not knowing the bridge, I'll pick the bridge because I know the 405 is a disaster.
Yeah, well, everybody loves the Golden Gate Bridge. Willie Mays or Sandy Koufax?
Well, I got to meet Sandy Koufax. I'm going to have to go with Sandy Koufax.
Okay. Ghirardelli or See's Candy?
Oh, that was easy. Ghirardelli.
There you go. There's some love from NorCal there. Napa or French wine?
Oh, please. They're getting easier all the time. Definitely Napa.
49ers or Raiders?
Oh, well, that is also easy for me. Oakland Raiders, wherever they end up, I'm an Oakland Raider fan. Win or lose, and it's been mostly lose, but I'm very optimistic about the coming season.
Yeah, well, soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders. And then Frank Sinatra or Tony Bennett?
Oh, well, I'm quite a diehard Sinatra fan, so I'm going to go with Frank Sinatra.
Our thanks to Congressman Adam Schiff. Next up, a debate kind of unlike we've seen before. We've got Ann Coulter, one of the most prominent conservative commentators on the right, and Stephanie Miller, one of the most prominent progressive commentators on the left. And of course, we had to talk about the Mueller report. Take a listen.
Welcome to you both. Good to have you here.
It's delightful. Thank you. Already.
So we just heard from Congressman Schiff, of course, one of the big stories of this week, the Mueller report. Your thoughts after seeing what we saw of the report so far and hearing from the congressman.
Well, I wasn't surprised that there's no collusion. Of course, there was no collusion. It was such a crazy conspiracy theory from the beginning. But wow, it makes the media look bad. I mean, this is it's as if the left, i.e. the media, and the Democrats decided they're just going to start pushing, I don't know, a birther theory. If they had, if the Republican Party had done that for 3 years under and had committees on it, and we're going to have the citizenship committee, and we're going to push that Obama was actually born in Kenya, and you just would sit back and watch these TV shows with never a dissenting voice. And by the way, thank you for having me on, because you don't see that on TV these days. So they build these elaborate fantasies. If you had one normal person who knew anything there, who could pull the card out with one little fact, then the theories come crashing down. And, you know, that's Robert Mueller has to assemble facts. He certainly put together a group of prosecutors who detest Donald Trump. If they had been able to find something, I think they would have.
Just the title of her book already pissed me off. And then you had to talk. Listen, we met in the 90s. Remember the late 90s during the Clinton prosecution? Are you kidding me? If you substituted the name Clinton or Obama with this unbelievable array of offenses, we're already past a zillion impeachable offenses. Adam Schiff was brilliant both in your interview and on the House floor this week. I mean, that was some Mr. Smith goes to Washington stuff. He laid out the plan, the whole prosecution beautifully. And are you kidding me? We had a huge star report that we got to see every comma. We know every curvature of Bill Clinton's penis. You and I had to discuss it on the air in 1998 or whatever it was. And this is over a consensual BJ. This is a active Russian asset with the nuclear codes. You really? He stood there in Helsinki and said, I agree with Putin and not our 17 intelligence agencies. And you didn't think that seemed a little weird? You don't think him ticking off everything on Putin's wish list is a little weird? Again, as Schiff said, we may not have reached the bar for criminal conspiracy, but the collusion is in plain sight. And he cited it one thing after the other.
I mean, he laid out a pretty long case on our show. What did you think of that?
No, I think it's just pointing and sputtering, and anything Trump does, he's doing the things
indictments?
That he's allowed.
How many guilty pleas? How many people in
Donald
prison?
Trump? it has nothing to do with collusion. Everything he does as president, they scream and say he is the president. He's going to meet with foreign leaders. He ran on having good relations with Russia.
100 contacts with
Russians? And in fact, I think these crazy conspiracy theories have harmed our foreign policy. That is what people voted for. In the primaries, George Pataki, he kind of went away
quickly he said, oh, how tough he was going to be with Russia and he wants another Cold War. That's not what Donald Trump ran on. What he ran on was, I want to have good relations with a nuclear armed power, and we voted for him. But we haven't been able to get that policy because of this hysteria. And you can, you know, sit, call someone a Russian asset and say it was a consensual affair. But that, I mean, just to quickly compare, we had a president of the United States being sued in a civil rights action who went in and took an oath and perjured himself over and over and over again. To say
Donald
of a
Trump
woman,
has only lied, what is it, 9,000 something terrible times while he's in office.
None of it is under oath. He didn't do an interview under oath, even though they asked for it. Well, okay, but what they call lies are, no, vanilla is better than strawberry ice cream. That's a lie. It's a lie. We have 3,000. Like, none of them are lies. None of it is. He's a president talking about being president. We had
a
president who
perjured
himself.
I didn't know anything about the payoff to Stormy Daniels.
Enough that all Supreme Court justices boycotted Clinton's next State of the Union. You can't go in and lie and perjure yourself. Okay. There's nothing like that. We don't even know. Tell me what the lie was that Trump told.
I'm going to spontaneously combust like a Spinal Tap drummer.
These 3,000.
I am not going to survive this today.
Okay,
people.
But hold on. Other than pointing
at Spinal. Are you kidding me?
Isn't an argument.
What? How? Really? So
he's a Russian agent.
Obama's
isn't an argument.
Campaign manager, deputy campaign manager, national security advisor, personal lawyer were all in prison or on their way there. What? Seriously?
Having nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Nothing to do with Donald Trump.
I mean, the Whitewater
once
affair.
Once again, Trump campaign manager,
people,
Trump lawyer.
Put more people in prison and they were much closer to Trump and they were dealings
Let's try to not do the 90s again.
Look, facts are facts, and I just want to point out I'm citing facts, and she's sputtering.
I'm sputtering?
Wait, so
would you like to see the Mueller report instead of...
Of course.
Instead of... Okay.
That's the new conspiracy theory, that, oh, secretly they found collusion, but Barr is lying
to
us. Maybe Mueller is a Russian agent, too.
There's obstruction we haven't even heard about yet.
We have a president being president. It is not president to be exercise the office.
Stephanie, next week you're going to be holding a town hall in Congressman Adam Schiff's district along with Tom Steyer for Need to Impeach. This is going to be happening in Glendale.
Yeah.
Why do you think that there's still a need to impeach? Because a lot of people hear now that there's no collusion and they think that impeachment should be taken off the table. Even Congressman Schiff has been said that probably we're not even close to the bar for impeachment.
I don't think he said that. I think he said that Mueller didn't reach the... First of all, I don't understand, if you can't indict a sitting president, why did he use that you know, level of the law then? Why did he use, you
we
have to get to this...
Did. I think you can indict a sitting president.
Well, I do too.
That's just a memo.
We agree, and we also agree that Donald Trump is an idiot, if I'm reading your Twitter feed correctly. Let's just go out for tequila shots and call it a day.
We should impeach him for not building the wall. Everything else is nonsense.
I don't care. That's fine. Sure. Let's say for the wall. Yes, for not building the wall. Sure.
Okay. But if you would read my book, Resistance is Futile, I think I have excellent advice for liberals.
Really? I'd rather
they
pour
have been
hot
running
coffee
off.
In my private parts.
Also not fact-based. Okay. They have been running off on these crazy conspiracy theories, making themselves look ridiculous. I mean, I really wouldn't want to be Nancy Pelosi right now. I would like Adam Schiff to stay. I mean, I guess I'm going to prefer Trump to whatever lunatic the Democrats are on next time. Schiff is not helping the Democratic Party. You want to go after Trump, go after him for violating his promises. They didn't win the midterm elections by screaming about Russian assets and Russian agent and Russian collusion. They talked about issues that people care about. This crazy conspiracy theory, I mean, look, MSNBC and CNN may be happy they can get 3 million viewers every night. I bet you if you put a show on TV where we're just going to promote a flat earth theory, you could probably get 3 million Americans to watch every night and get really obsessed with it. That's what our news media has been doing to us. All they care about is their bottom line. They should stop calling themselves news, call themselves entertainment. Flat earth theory next week, this week Russian collusion, because they aren't reporting the news. They have had to retract one thing after another on this whole Russian thing, and haha, now we get the truth. And these poor souls who thought it was a flat earth discovered it's not flat after all.
Okay.
We're going to leave
the Republicans are the party of the flat earth, but
that's not a fact. We're calling and sputtering.
You're celerating that we're only up to 34 indictments and there's only most people in his inner circle are going to prison.
Did you care about that with Whitewater? Look, when you look at people,
investigated Whitewater for zillions of years. For how many taxpayer dollars also, and found
look,
nothing?
Look, if they don't want to talk about the 90s.
And there was a big Benghazi investigation as well.
11.
The point is, yes, but people around Clinton, very close to Clinton and involved in actual business dealings with him, were corrupt and were arrested and went to prison. Okay, same thing with Manafort. And I might add, in Manafort's case, no other campaign consultants would work with Trump. Remember that? He was kind of, this is a guy who lives in my building and he worked for Gerald Ford. He wasn't taking the pick of the litter.
All right, we're gonna have to leave it there. I'm glad we found so much room to
agree. That's our best case. Trump's an idiot who can't get anyone to work for him.
Okay.
It's not a crook.
That was pretty heated. It got even more heated when it was time to talk about Ann Coulter's signature issue, immigration.
I hear from Fox News that it's the mother of all caravans coming this time. Did you hear that? It's a caravan and infrastructure week again. This is so ridiculous because, first of all, just to touch on Mueller again, 60% of the American people almost think that this Barr cover-up did not exonerate the president. 84% want to see the full Mueller report. He is always trying to distract from something. You know very well that border crossings are at a 40-year low. We do not need this stupid wall, whatever it's made of, see-through, whatever it is today. He is a con man and a grifter and a criminal. It's just it doesn't matter what the subject is. Every day there's a competition before just complete incompetence, incoherence.
Should we shut down the border next week?
Well, I don't know what he means, but I mean, listening to Stephanie, this is why he can do nothing and he'll be reelected. All he does is talk. He never actually does anything, but then liberals are hysterical, so people listening think, well, I want a border. He must be doing it. No, he's not doing anything. He talks a good game. Yeah, of course we should shut it down. That used to be an issue the left cared about. Bernie Sanders had a position on immigration, indistinguishable from Donald Trump's. Why? Because who does it hurt? It doesn't hurt Stephanie. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt me. I mean, except to the extent we love our fellow Americans, it hurts the working class. It's their jobs, their communities, their hospitals, their schools that are being overwhelmed. Bernie Sanders said to Vox when he first ran for president, they just assumed he was for open borders, and he said, no, open borders is a Koch brothers idea. Yeah. If Democrats were smart, they would run on the old Bernie Sanders position, point out that all Trump does is talk, he doesn't do anything, and they could beat him. But they won't. They're running off on Russia.
Bernie Sanders has changed his position
yes.
since then.
And maybe Donald Trump could stop using illegal immigrants
himself.
No, he has.
He checked back in with the mothership of the Democratic Party. Yeah. No, let's take issues that screw over the working class.
Donald Trump is a hypocrite like everyone else on the right, and you know it. He employs a bunch of illegal immigrants himself. Please, this crap about you helping the working man. He doesn't care about that.
I don't care what he does personally other than not keeping his promises. Keep your promise. I don't care if he had employed illegals, and I don't even know if it's true.
I agree with her again. He doesn't keep any of his promises, and now we've entered a wormhole in the universe.
Who cares? He said he would build a wall, would deport illegals, would bring the jobs back. He could so transform America and transform the two parties. These aren't traditional Republican issues. They're pro-American issues, thus his campaign promise.
Really? Baby jails is an American issue? That's something that should make us proud as Americans?
You know what? The richest man in the world, or at least periodically, is Carlos Slim. He is a Mexican. How about the rich in Mexico take care of their poor? And the rich in America take care of America's poor?
Most of these people aren't Mexican. They're Guatemalans
or El Salvadorans
or Hondurans.
Okay, how about the rich in Guatemala take care of them? How did the poor people of the universe become our problem? We're not a battered women's shelter. We have our own poor people. If you don't care about our own poor people, then yep, let them all in because you'll get cheap labor and cheap maids and cheap
garments. Are you still wearing your crucifix that you usually wear? Because have you read anything Jesus actually said?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about the logistics of this, though. If you actually close the border, what would that look like?
What would that do to society? Oh, it would be great for society, but we also have to throw in the deportations. For one, I mean, everything gets easier with a closed border. Look at one of the biggest problems we have, the drug overdose problem.
opioids? How do they think they get here? They come through ports of entry.
You know those are not.
That's so insane.
Please.
No, they're caught at point of entries because that's where the guards are. It's like the old joke about the guy looking for the keys under the light. Is that where you lost them? No, but the light's better here. Yeah, they get caught at the ports of entry. We don't know how many are getting through where there are no guards catching them. That's so absurd. But the point is 90% of illegal drugs, heroin, fentanyl, opioids, they are coming from Mexico, read Sam Quinones' dreamland.
Okay, let's leave that one there. But another big issue this week was Jussie Smollett, the Empire actor, who apparently they dropped all the charges for some reason. It's not really exactly clear why. The prosecutor's saying we think that he was guilty, but we're still dropping the charges. You think that this is really going to help?
Yeah, it's a national emergency, like the president said, Ann. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I think
one black guy getting away with something once. Let's call the National Guard.
I don't want to disagree because I'm not even sure I want Trump reelected, and Smollett is going to get Trump reelected. It's just so outrageous, so corrupt. And meanwhile, you have a woke Joe Biden going around campaigning against the English jurisprudential system. That's the white man's justice. That's Joe Biden's big position this week. Yeah, the white man's position being justice is blind. It shouldn't be because you fit certain categories and you can waste all of this money. I mean, the Smollett issue is so obviously bad for the Democrats that who do we have all over TV denouncing it? Rahm Emanuel. He cares about Democrats winning. I don't particularly care, so take it away, Stephanie.
So, okay, most of the people closest to Trump are already in jail or on their way there. Bob Barr is clearly trying to cover up, you know, and obviously
Russian
stop
asset.
The rest of this from, but what one actor with obviously probably a mental health issue, that's another bright line that's okay to cross now. He ordered the Justice Department to investigate an actor that possibly staged a prank. Really?
It's another distraction. Possibly staged a prank. He accused Trump supporters, white Trump supporters, of committing a hate crime against him. There are always retaliatory crimes.
The New Zealand terrorist names come out. Name check Trump.
This was
the synagogue shooter.
This has nothing to do with anything.
Do we think that Jussie Smollett should have to pay back the city of Chicago, which is something
Rahm Emanuel does. They're demanding $130,000.
Do you think that makes sense?
And that's the one thing Ann and I agree on. Donald Trump is a disaster. This isn't a presidency. It's a crime spree. It is a corruption, a incompetence spree. I don't know what to tell you about, you know, I just don't think there are so many things. He's trying to take health insurance away from millions of Americans.
Yeah.
Just this week, he tried to cut funding for the Special Olympics until there was an outcry. I just don't care about
that. I just want to conclude by saying Stephanie and I agree.
There have been some of these shooters have had MAGA caps in their Instagram. So please,
do agree that Donald Trump is the best president in our lifetime. Stephanie and I agree on that.
Okay,
just want to do the same thing you're doing to me.
Do we agree that we like California as a concept?
I like the weather here. I like the weather.
We like that, and we like the people. Some of the good people
yes,
of
I
San
like
Francisco.
You. Like you are, most of the time.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't touch.
And our thanks to Anna and Stephanie. That was something else. Now, on to a different topic. Steve Bannon.
Send in Steve Bannon.
For some, Steve Bannon, former confidant to President Trump, is an evil force to be reckoned with, like the Grim Reaper himself. But does the real-life Steve Bannon live up to the hype? Director Allison Clayman followed him around for months as a sort of fly on the wall. The result is the newly released documentary called The Brink.
If I had not come as the CEO of the campaign, Trump would not have won.
And that's a fact.
The Brink takes you behind the curtains in the life of Steve Bannon.
It's an observational verite film, so it's really allowing you as an audience member to draw your own conclusions.
Filmmaker Allison Clayman followed Bannon around for more than a year. She started soon after he left the White House as chief strategist.
I'm about one thing. I'm about winning.
Bannon is not, you know, the Grim Reaper as he's portrayed on SNL. I mean, he's a person.
Clayman worked as a one-woman crew, sometimes filming more than 10 hours a day. Often, she's the only woman in the room.
My goal was really to not draw attention to myself.
God damn it. Just stay focused.
Bannon maintains an exhaustive schedule, often traveling on private jets to give speeches about populism.
I'm going to get so crushed in this film.
He often meets with the very same reporters he calls the enemy of the people.
But the reality is he is incredibly chummy with the media.
Are you now consulting for the National Rally Party?
In your point.
Bannon often travels throughout Europe, helping nationalist leaders.
Is Steve Bannon a racist?
You know, as much as I've spent, you know, all this time watching him, I don't know what's in his heart. I don't know that that matters, though, because I believe that he promotes policies and is willing to engage in rhetoric that emboldens racism.
Who is funding this group?
Love him or hate him, Klayman says there's value in understanding Bannon and why so many love his ideas.
Even when you're someone that you strongly disagree with, you have to see them as a full human.
And thanks so much for listening to the Issue Is podcast. Again, we encourage you to check out the podcast extra from this week with Ann Coulter and to check out our past shows in podcast form right here on the Issue Is. Please subscribe and please watch us Friday nights at 10:30 p.m. on Fox 11 in Los Angeles and Saturday mornings now at 6:30 a.m. in San Francisco. Thanks so much. Have a great one.